The following is an original production of Mod Mobilian Radio.
You're listening to Babylon Mobile from Mod Mobilian Radio and ModMobilian.com. My name is Emily Hayes, and we are coming to you from Haley's this week. Going to try and tone down the sexual innuendo. Kenan's going to try and keep his pants dry. You know, it's a good time.
That's the first sexual innuendo. Yeah. Right there.
So... That being said, again, my name is Emily Hayes. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to pass the mic around and introduce you to all the players this week. Some you know, some you don't know.
My name is Russ Adams.
Good afternoon. I'm Clay Bates.
Mac Lipscomb.
And Kenan Phillips.
We have a lot to talk about today. One thing is that we only have one mic because there's a wonky mic cable cord. That was redundant.
Elbows off the table.
Yeah, we're back at Haley's, and you know how stressed I get about these tables because we're a bunch of table leaners. We all put our elbows on the table and get into heated discussions where we lean in and put more pressure on the table, and then tables break. And they still let us come in here. It's oh so nice. Pretty busy week. Pretty busy past week. You know, the elections were just the other day, and... Yesterday, in fact, but you'll hear this on Thursday, so it was just the other day. Thank you, Clay. Between Dean Young and Bradley Byrne pulled that one out. It was close, though. It was like 47% of people voted for Dean Young, which scares me a little bit just because of the way that he was representing us to not just national media, but international media. Thoughts, Russ?
Well, I'm just very glad that he didn't make it. I would assume that all these retirees with a lot of time on their hands down in Gulf Shores got their little walkers and staggered over to the voting booth and tried to get their man in.
Clay, your thoughts?
I'm glad to see it go the way it went. I know we had a lot of things to say about Dean Young last week. You know, kudos to the city of Mobile for turning out and voting. It's something that we always press as an important issue here. You know, we're definitely... trying to get a new handle on the city and breathe some new life into it, and new things are happening, and so I feel like that's probably a good thing.
Speaking of breathing life into the city, new life into the city, tonight is the, I guess you would say, the grand reopening of the Sanger with Wet Willie and Port City Rising 2. Kenan, you will be in attendance. What are you looking forward to?
Can I make a comment about Dean Young after that? I have to. I'm going to be there. It's great. It's free. So if you're listening tomorrow and you didn't come, then you could have come for free.
Or you can just stay tuned to
Yes. Oh, that's right. Or you can just stay tuned to ModMobilian.com.
We tell you what's going on.
You're right. We talked about this last week. So it's going to be great. There's going to be a ribbon cutting and a reception with people. I want to emphasize, as I did last week, that the success of the Sanger is going to depend on a strong Friends of the Sanger group. Dean Young. I did not realize that Dean Young did not even win his precinct in Orange Beach last time. Now, Tony Kennan got out. They got a lot of voters out. I did not see if he won that last night. I'm going to give a parting shot. I think for somebody who wants to restore us to our godly constitutional values and who says he's a Christian could act as ungentlemanlike and just un-everything, not even call Bradley Byrne, say he's not supporting him, and say that, you know, it's a mistake. You know, he said, you'll reap what you sow, you know, because he's, like, so evil. So glad it's over. A lot of Democrats got out and voted yesterday for Bradley Byrne, and it was the 76 about 76,000 people, and it was as high as a presidential election. So when people say their vote doesn't matter, your vote mattered in August, and your vote mattered yesterday. So thanks to everyone.
I don't vote.
Yeah, we've been through that. We've been through that. So I echo the same stuff that Ken is saying. Kudos to everyone who got out and voted. I'm a big supporter of the mantra, if you don't vote, you can't complain. Unless you have dual citizenship and it's going to be hard for you to register to vote, Mac, we understand.
Well, no, I don't
complain, though. You do, too. Anywho, back on point here at Babylon. So we've got the grand reopening of the Sanger, which is tonight. So if you missed it, shame. But get over there and see what's going on. It's going to be a nice new chapter for the Sanger Theater. And a wonderful chapter for the city of Mobile is Art Walk, and that's coming up this week. Right? Yes, Friday. And Clay is going to tell us a little more about that.
I've got Art Walk going on this week. I know there's going to be a lot of great artists, as usual, all around downtown. I know there will be some different shows going on this weekend. I know with the Blind Mule, Ashley Pinkwaite and Cameron Zion will be playing there Friday night.
Just because we brought up the Blind Mule, I had lunch there this afternoon, and Leland Clay was playing in the courtyard, and that's someone that I always forget to talk about who's amazingly talented. And the Blind Mule is doing that from time to time, having live music in the courtyard during lunch on these especially beautiful, soon-to-be fall days. So get on out there and check that out and support local artists in that way. And they have great artists coming in. I saw some stuff being hung today. And they have a new mural as well, representing the state of Alabama and the breweries. And that was done by Zach DiPolo and Devlin and Adam Underwood. So check that out. That's awesome. But back to Clay.
Friday, some stuff going on. There's Sawcat playing at the Music Box.
With Kansas Bible Company.
So that's what, four bands? Four bands of the box on Friday? Five bands, excuse me. I'm sure there'll be a plethora of other things going on. So get downtown Friday, check out Art Walk. Just to tag on to that reopening of the Sanger, I had the pleasure of talking to Ryan Chavez with Hookah Entertainment last night, who actually got me some tickets to the show, and said today they were going to be announcing, which I have not heard that announcement, today they're going to be announcing a few shows for the end of the year. Some smaller stuff. He said there were some bigger things that they've got coming that will be the early part of next year. They're really excited about some new kinds of things. He couldn't exactly elaborate on exactly what the shows were, but he said it was really exciting. They were looking forward to that. So everybody be on the lookout that Hookah Entertainment is bringing some new shows to the Sanger. So celebrating that tonight, and a lot of, you know, big stuff to look forward to early next year. So
we're going to let Mac tell you about some shows coming to town. Before he does, I do want to point out that everyone expected to see Banditos at East Bank Pub this Friday. That show has to be rescheduled. Double booking happens, y'all.
Okay. Well, speaking of East Bank, they do have Elise Thornton, though, on Saturday. Just keep looking out for them on their Facebook. Check it out on Facebook, East Bank Pub in Pascagoula. They always post up their events. They have, like, a dart tournament coming up as well. And a big trivia event as well coming up.
A month-long
thing for November, starting tonight, actually. Well, no.
Starting,
yeah.
Wednesday night.
Starting every Wednesday night. Soul Kitchen's big show's coming up. You got Steve Vai on the 14th. I kind of have an issue with that. and Kip Moore is playing the 23rd.
Why do you have an issue?
I don't like Steve Vai.
It's not about you.
Well, it's the night of the week. It's on a Thursday.
That's a good night for Mobile, though.
Yeah.
People go out on Thursdays. Halloween was Thursday. Halloween was on a Thursday, and, you know, people get out for that. There were plenty of people out that night. So, and it's Steve Vai. I mean,
there's gonna be a turnout.
He's playing on a Thursday in Mobile because it's a connection date between New Orleans and Atlanta. So you can't expect to have him on a Friday or Saturday because he's got bigger fish to fry. So it's good that he's coming through town at all. It's, you know, kudos to Soul Kitchen for booking that show. It'll bring a different style of music and something a little more classic and get some of the metalheads out. I think it'll be a good show.
The only issue he has is on Thursday. And then Callahan has got Blair Crimmins and the Hookers. I believe that's Friday or Saturday. And then they got the Modern Eldorados on the 17th. That's at Callahan's. The Record Bar and Daphne, they have Wes Bayless on Friday and the Lee Yankee Duo on the 15th. So check them out also as well on Facebook. And we have music playing. Uh-oh.
It's all Kenan's fault.
It's Kenan's fault. Somebody who knows should know better. The Music Box has a lot of shows booked up through the next couple of weeks. On Thursday night, so the night you'll hear this, they got Lydia from India Lakes and Vivid Verbs playing. That's going to be a pretty good show.
Vivid Verbs is a great local band. A lot of new material from those guys. So if you've not had a chance to check them out yet, breathing some new life into the local music scene, check those guys out. Kevin Regan and those guys are great people.
And then, like, on Friday, we got Saul Cat and Kansas Bible Company and all of them. And then Saturday, it's Tribal Seeds, Fortunate Youth, and Heary on Saturday.
It's going to be a good show.
It's
going to be a very good show. Checked out some of the Tribal Seeds stuff today. It's really cool.
And then a show that I'm pretty excited about, some 15, is the 15th at St. Paul and the Broken Bones with the Shabooms and Black Taxi.
That'll be sold out for sure. St. Paul and the Broken Bones pack out every time they're down here.
No matter where they play. And then on the 18th, Metal Monday, I'm looking very, very, very forward to this show on the 18th because I am a metalhead. It's Winds of Plague, Oceano, Gideon, and Sworn In on the 18th. That's going to be a Monday night show at the Box. That's really about it, but we did, if I can, I would like to speak on the shows we just had the last couple of nights this week. Coheed and Cambria with Eye of the Mighty and Balancing Composure was phenomenal. Packed the place out. It was great. Really good turnout, and they have also posted on their Facebook that they are looking forward to coming back to Mobile. So I didn't get to see Frank Turner, unfortunately.
I heard that was a good show, though. I talked to a couple people at the Frank Turner show and also the J.J. Gray show. Kenan, how was the J.J. Gray show?
It was good. I went. At first, you know what I did? I went to Muscle Shoals and saw Muscle Shoals, which was fabulous. Have you seen it yet, Emily? You better see it. There's one more night, and that's tomorrow night. It was great. Then I went. It was a good show. I enjoyed myself. I mean, I didn't stay till the bitter end. It was a work night.
Did you go by yourself? Because wasn't that the biggest?
I did. I did. I went by myself, and I saw. You know what?
You knew everybody there.
I had a good time, but I didn't know a lot of people there. I talked to Brad, and hung out with some other people. It was fine.
Good. Well, I'm glad.
But I'm gonna have to run in a minute, so I was gonna touch on food, and then we could get back to music. Next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 14th, 15th, and 16th is Opa Greek Fest. Lunch and dinner and takeout. They have lunch and dinner on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all 3 days. I usually go all of those days and eat as much Greek food as I can. And now it's all over the place. But when I was a kid, I mean, it was the most exotic thing I ever went to. So please go. Supports their stuff. I was about to call you Brian Adams.
Just to add one thing, from what I understand, if you order in advance, you can pick it up and you get some sort of discount. Do you know about that?
I remember they had a drive-thru.
They always have a drive-thru, but for the discount, pre-admission, was something. Oh, they're doing dinner plates early. I have seen that on their Facebook page, and if you go to the Greek Orthodox Church, maybe a webpage, I'm fairly certain they have information there. I ate at Saucy Q today. Emily and I are on the other sides of the fence of it, but they do. I like it. I enjoy it. But with that being said, they are printing money in that place. And I was amazed at how I got in there and there were about 15 people in line. And 20 minutes later, my food was there. So, you know, hats off to service. And, I'm trying to think of other places I've really eaten. I ate at speaking of sexual innuendos, the former location of Saucy Q up by Moffitt Road, right next to the Sub King, the original Sub King, is called BJ's. And BJ's is wings, chicken fingers, and barbecue. I went I just happened upon it, went in. They have wonderful wings. And what I like about it is they tell you it's going to take 10 minutes to get your food. You know, you got to be okay with that. And, you know, they make them right there. And they have all the styles, flavors, good fries. It's located on Moffett Road, just before you go under the interstate on the left. Right, where you usually get BJ's, as Emily said. I wanted to also give another book. The market is still going on in the square until the weekend before Thanksgiving. There's an older gentleman that sells the best rolls you'll ever eat there. Get them and freeze them for Thanksgiving. Also, the Beehive, is that the Methodist Church at the corner of Government? They have a farmer's market on Thursdays from Government and Marine. It's just a quaint little farmer's market. There's some, not a lot of vendors, but there's a great, the honey guy's good, and Manya's there with her bread, and then a lot of good fresh fall vegetables, and there are plenty of things you can make with those. So that's about all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken, and kudos on keeping your pants dry. Here's Russ.
Just to add something, just out of the blue, have you heard about the dinner club across the bay yet? It's some David Cooper has like a private eating club. Yeah. I'm going to be going there. The supper club? I don't know. I'm going to be eating there on Friday, so if you want me to come talk about it sometime, I can do that. I mean, I'm not the gourmand you are, but as you can tell, I eat a lot, so.
I eat everything. I went this summer. It's a combination of some things from Ruth's Chris and from Felix's. And started out with a small number of people. It's not a large room, but it's a nice room. And it seems to be something that's, if you're over the bay, good to go to. Adios.
Thank you, Kenan.
I kind of want to know what people think is missing in Mobile when it comes to food. Because I was just granted a pretty hefty small business loan that I can use to get a location. And I want to know what people want in Mobile. So I can open up a restaurant and send it into Modmo. That way Emily can let me know what y'all think and put everybody's heads together and see what's going on.
This is Russ. Number one, we need a good Chinese restaurant in downtown Mobile. Number two, I really miss Indian food. When I lived in New York City, there was one street that had 21 Indian restaurants on one block, and they are all really good. And number three, I always wanted a really good pancake house somewhere around Midtown, because right now you have IHOP at Airport and McGregor, and you have IHOP in Daphne, and I don't know where else you can get a pancake.
My thing is, I think we desperately need a good Italian restaurant. Good traditional Italian food, and also classic New York-style or Chicago-style pizza. I mean, especially in downtown. You know, there are a few things that are around town that will suffice. Another thing that I would really like to see, and someone brought this up when I was working at a bike shop, came in and said, what do you think about a traditional ramen shop downtown? That was a late night noodle shop and did it traditional style, you know, like Japan. And I thought that was a great idea. I'd really like to see that. I'd also like to see somebody do a good chicken fried steak and a barbecue place that does burnt ends and brisket, but that's because I'm from the Midwest. So, but that makes 2 weeks running. I had to bring that up.
Ramen is great. I went to Japan a couple of times, and if you ever go to Yokohama, you got to go to the Ramen Museum. You've been to that? Yeah. That is awesome. It is an awesome place. It looks like a 50s Yokohama waterfront, and at the bottom they have 6 regional variations of ramen you can eat. It is just a fantastic thing.
It's not just beef-flavored and chicken-flavored, it's shrimp-flavored.
Oh, it is awesome. They all do different styles, and it's just a wonderful, fun thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for people that don't know and haven't been to a traditional ramen shop, it's not just, you know, noodles out of a bag you throw in a pot and that's it. There's different kinds of meat that you get an entire pork chop floating in the bowl. It's a huge bowl of food traditionally. It'd be kind of cool. I think downtown Mobile would support that. Have something like that down here.
Yeah, watch the movie Tampopo if you really want to get an idea of ramen. You ever seen that?
I have not.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. Well, I think ramen would do well downtown because I know a lot of people who live and work and play downtown that live off of ramen. My hand is raised. In fact, I just ran out of chicken ramen, so someone's going to have to go to the store. Womp, womp, womp.
I was walking out the door, and I just remembered two things. It's a new French restaurant called Escoffier that is going to be on Dolphin Street in between Reed and Monterey, right there near Via, that little brick storefront. And then also the Coffee Crew is a new coffee shop that is opening up in the building right across from Old Shell Road Elementary, the yellow building kind of that's triangular or sort of. They're opening up later this month, and they're giving, I know one of the things I would encourage you to like them on Facebook. One of the things that they're doing is a proceeds of whatever they make are going to go back into the community. So that'll be a good community gathering place for that area of town, and it's close to me. Right. So see you.
Thanks, Kenan.
You're welcome.
It's like the third time I think I've told you bye.
Yes, I know.
Have fun. Russ has got the line on some Panini Pete's action.
Yes, across the street from our bookstore, Panini Pete's is going to be moving into the space that was occupied with a little kitchen and some forgettable Chinese restaurant. They're working on it now, so they'll be moving from Kantai and Conception Street to just west of Royal Street on Dolphin.
Excellent. Excellent. Speaking of across from your business, for folks that don't know, Russ takes care of us with Bienville Books, which has been here quite a while. I love it because Russ came up with the Jim Cantore voodoo doll bookmark. And I think we all have similar feelings on Jim Cantore. But if you don't know Russ, I'm going to give him a second to kind of clue you in to why it's so wonderful that he has joined us today.
Thank you, Emily. I
some more makers.
Yes, that would be nice. Thank you. I own Bienville Books. It's downtown just off Bienville Square. I really can't say more than it's been there about 11 years. And we try and carry a real wide variety of things. If you've ever been there, you'll see that. So I just try and get new and used books. And if y'all want something, just let me know.
Actually, I didn't. Today's the first time that I've gotten to meet you, and I didn't realize that you own the bookstore. But from someone who doesn't own the bookstore, I can tell you, fantastic shop. Really, really cool location, kind of a, you know, haunted building, and a lot of stories about that. And even though I've never had any weird experiences in that building, but always a lot of cool stuff. Every time I go in there, I end up coming out with something. There's a lot of cool finds in that bookshop. Other things coming to downtown. There was a big announcement today that Bruce Willis will be in town filming a movie within a couple of weeks, and oddly enough, and funnily enough, it's the film is pretty much the same plot as the Nicolas Cage film, you know, ex gang member, mafioso guy, whatever, has issues with his daughter being kidnapped and is going after the bad guys. So same kind of thing once over again. But Bruce Willis would be in town, so keep your
taken for that.
Yeah. So yippee-ki-yay. And Emily looked at me because she thought I was going to say the end of that. And I wasn't going to do that, but it's also really cool whenever things like that happen. I know Convergence just finished wrapping, and Tokarev right before that. A lot of filming, a lot of, you know, movie industry stuff going on. So kudos to the Mobile Film Council for getting the ball rolling on a lot of that stuff. That's actually really cool.
It's very exciting to see that happen. I lived in Georgia for a hot minute, and so many films film in Georgia and in New Orleans, and I know for a long time, and I think we've spoke on this before, but for a long time, Alabama wasn't inviting for film companies to come in. There was the easiest way to say is there was a lot of red tape to get stuff done. But for so many of these films to be happening in Mobile, that's awesome. The only thing I'm worried about, though, is like we had Cage Rage, and now that Bruce is coming, what are we going to call that? Like Bonkers for Bruce? It's not as catchy as Cage Rage.
Willis Willies.
Willis Willies? Okay, well, look for the T-shirt soon. There's many other things that I wanted to talk about. Now I'm drawing a blank on, which is not cool at all. Hold, please.
How long have we gone?
Okay. So we're kind of Oh, Crescent. The Crescent has 12 days of slave, or 12 years of slave. 12 days. God, that's terrible for me to say. But yeah, 12 years of slave at Crescent Theater. And if you go to modmobilian.com, our own Logan Bowes is reviewing the film festival in Fairhope and 12 Years a Slave, which is going to be at the Crescent. So you should definitely check that out. Also, one thing that I definitely want to hit, actually, there's a couple of things I want to talk about before we get into sports, because I know the guys are raging to talk about sports. Russ and I are like, okay, we'll just go drink the Makers. Center for the Living Arts and Mobilians on Bikes invite you to participate in a ride through downtown. You can go to modmobilian.com or find modmobilian on Facebook for more information on that, because as I'm sure a lot of you have heard, there's been some recent shitty things that have happened to cyclists. And yeah, I can it's the internet. Russ is like, no, I'm on it. So I think Clay, do you know, I think you're a little more well-versed on that than I am. Like, the ghost bikes are up, which I think is a very touching tribute, but the fact that we have to put up ghost bikes is terribly upsetting.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, just a general safety issue. I mean, there's been at least two random murders that I know of within the last week, and I know we touched on this a little bit last week, but, you know, the shooting at the corner of Broad and Spring Hill, a gentleman on his bicycle shot in the head. And there was a stabbing at Lions Park up on Spring Hill within the same couple of days. So that's definitely raising a lot of safety concerns and issues with a lot of people in downtown. And, you know, I guess maybe we can touch on a general topic. I mean, the general issue of downtown safety is always kind of a key thing for people that live in West Mobile and don't get down here very often. You know, there's so many people that live out that side of town that are constantly, you know, when I travel across 65 every once in Blue Moon, people are like, oh, you know, I never really get down there. It's kind of dangerous or it's unsafe. And for those of us who are down here all the time, it's really not. And so for these things to kind of start happening, it kind of raises an eyebrow because of the fact that those of us who are down here, we do feel safe.
I'd like to, as a downtown resident, I'd like to say that actually, to me, downtown stops at Broad Street and starts getting into Midtown. So really, if you're going to pin this on a neighborhood, do Midtown. Yeah.
Midtown. And I will say, and as a lot of you know, I'm not from Mobile, but I love it like it is my home. I've been here for 6 years in February, and knock wood, I've never had an issue. I've never felt unsafe. And so it's terribly upsetting with all this stuff happening, that if that deters people from checking out what we have going on down here and what's building and what's going to become great, that's heartbreaking. Speaking of downtown safety and things of that nature, we've been telling you for a couple of weeks about the benefit for Luke Rivers, longtime door guy at Haley's, keeps us all safe, if you will. I mean, maybe that's one of the reasons I've never felt like I've had an issue, because Luke, stand-up guy, if you're leaving late at night, he'll make sure you get to your car okay. He takes care of you inside of Haley's, so you can have as much fun as humanly possible at Haley's, which is a lot. And a couple of weeks back, he shattered his knee quite terribly, had to have surgery all stapled up, and is going to have physical therapy. So to help with mounting medical bills, Haley's is throwing the Love for Luke benefit, which will be this Sunday from 2 until 6. There is a $10 cover, and that gets you a free bowl of homemade gumbo, which is from, like, Caitlin's mom. And if you know Caitlin's a killer cook, and she had to learn it from somewhere, so there you go. But every dollar raised, your $10 cover, the raffles that are going on, the silent auction, every dollar is going to help Luke with his medical bills. And if you're friends with him on Facebook, send him a message. I know he's going stir crazy not being out and about. He is a social butterfly. I think he's going to try and come on Sunday, which will be the first time he's been out since everything happened. So please stop by. It's technically 2 until 6, but, you know, nothing at Haley's ever stops at 6 p.m. It's more like 6 a.m. So if you want more information on that, check out modmobilian.com and, of course, modmobilian on Facebook. Now, have I missed anything? Okay.
I'm involved with the library somewhat, Friends of the Library, and you all missed a wonderful opportunity this morning. They had an event at the library. It was a financial literacy program for children that they got a grant for. Our new library director has been doing a wonderful job of getting grants, and you had a chance to meet Cookie Monster this morning. You could have come in there and had your picture with the big blue guy.
That breaks my heart. I think you should see the faces right now around the table. We're all kind of upset, except for Mac, who's trying to fish something out of his dirty Shirley.
He's popping a cherry.
There we go.
Oh, and the hits keep coming. And coming. We're getting to the point of the show where we let the guys talk about sports and all the sports that are happening. Now, last week, I was bitching and moaning not about one of my best friends getting married, but about possibly missing the LSU-Alabama game, and apparently that time has been moved to be prime time. So Lindsay and BJ are going to get...
So due to some technical difficulties, we're restarting the sports section of today's Babylon. I believe that we started in on college football, talking about the Alabama Roll Tide big game they've got this weekend against LSU, number one against number 13. In Tuscaloosa? Should favor Alabama. I mean, they're looking strong. There's no reason really outright why they should be in trouble, but it is LSU, and we've been down this road before. Mac, what do you think?
Well, it all boils down to if LSU can throw the ball. If Mettenberger has a game like he did last year, he might have some issues just because the secondary is so young, but they have been very good. But there was some statements made by LSU's running back Hill that he feels like he can go through and dominate Bama's defense, put up some good yards and points. So that hopefully that fired up the defense a little bit and they'll show up. But like athletically across the board, it's a pretty good matchup. They kind of match Bama for athlete to athlete, but I think we're a little better coached.
Well, that obviously being probably the biggest game on Saturday, but tonight, Super Thursday, you've got Baylor against Oklahoma, huge game for the Big 12, and also you've got number 3 against number 5, which is going to be a massive game, Oregon against Stanford, and I believe that's in...
It's in Stanford.
It's in Palo Alto.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm calling upset on that.
Stanford?
I think Stanford pulls that off at home.
Oh, yeah. But analysts are saying that it's not the same Stanford team, and that, you know, that Oregon's defense is better than Stanford's defense, and that Stanford's not going to be able to slow them down. And usually when people talk crap about Stanford, they come out and have a really big game. But I'm pulling upset on that as well, because it's hard to go in there and beat them, because they've won, 16 consecutive home games or something like that since their last home loss is 2011 to Oregon. Other than that, they've dominated at home, so I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah, pretty strong team there in Stanford. I don't feel like they've really been tested so far yet this season, and I know they played UCLA, but that was, you know, let's face it, UCLA. I mean, they're not a bad team, but what do you think about the Baylor OU game tonight? You think Baylor's got hands down on that?
Yeah, Baylor's got it hands down. That offense is way too potent for Oklahoma. Oklahoma's defense isn't horrible, but it's not great either. And nobody's been able to slow down Baylor yet.
Right. But this would be Baylor's first ever 8-0 start in school history. They can pull this off tonight. And also, let's not forget, Oklahoma was blown out by Texas in the Red River Shootout. Texas, not really a strong team, pulled a surprising game against OU. OU's had trouble against TCU. They've had trouble against Texas Tech. They pulled out those games, but I'm going with Baylor on this one too.
Baylor's scoring a million points a game.
Right, but Baylor does have an extremely strong offense, and no matter how tough the defense for OU is, especially the secondary, I'm going Baylor on that one. So those are a couple of big college games this week. I think I touched on this before we got cut off, but again. And I've said this 3 weeks in a row, the Saints can't play in the cold. And
agreed.
Proved it again this week, even in only 52-degree sunshine in New Jersey. The Jets are not a bad team at all, but they definitely pulled off an upset there. Called that. The Saints have Cowboys at home in the Dome this week. Shouldn't be a problem if they show up to play. But the Cowboys have, you know, they've pulled some surprises so far this year.
It depends on what Tony Romo shows up. If the one that put up 500-plus yards a couple of weeks ago shows up, it's going to be an issue. But that is, but that's also, you know, Rob going against the Cowboys. And there's some heat there.
Right.
He's pissed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's. I know he wants this game. But at the same time, you know, the fire has been lit underneath Dez Bryant. Mm-hmm. You know, you saw the animosity come out here recently on the sidelines. And this is going to be a chance for him to really prove himself. You know, he's going to want to come out and have a big game in the Dome. Yeah. That's going to fuel his fire quite a bit. I think, Mac, you had a couple of other games this week.
You got Chicago and Detroit, which has a three-way tie in that conference right now between Green Bay, Chicago, and Detroit. That's going to be a big game. Jay Cutler's still ruled out, I think, for that game. They haven't really released his status as being back or not. Crap, I forgot who Green Bay was playing. My notebook's in the car. But then you got the Green Bay game coming up, which is a big thing. You know, they got Aaron Rodgers is out for 4 to 6 weeks with a broken collarbone.
They're playing Eagles, right?
Yeah, they're playing Philadelphia, and that's the intriguing part because Nick Foles is on fire. That dude's showing up big time, running
after a 40 plus point showing against the Oakland Raiders, which, you know, probably isn't all that hard to do, but still impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You got Cincinnati sitting atop the AFC North. And those guys have Baltimore this week.
Yes.
Should be a cakewalk for them, but that division also being, you know, fairly tight. I mean, they've only got three losses. They're sitting on top of that division above Cleveland right now. But Cleveland's on a warpath. You know, they had a big win against Baltimore last week. They've got a bye this week. They'll be playing Cincinnati. So Cincinnati going into this game needing a win and then, you know, at home again next week to face Cleveland.
Another interesting game. Well, that's not interesting, but to me it always is a pretty awesome matchup regardless how bad one of the teams are against the other is Denver against San Diego.
In San Diego.
And for some odd reason, Phillip Rivers' best games when he's going against Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be awesome because the Chargers are starting to hit their stride a little bit. You got some teams that aren't doing so great that maybe might get a win. Bucks are playing the Dolphins. We'll see about that. And we'll see. And then the Jags are still winless as well, but I think they're playing a decent team. They're playing the Titans, so we'll see with that.
I'm saying Jags probably go 0-16 this year.
I think the Bucks will probably maybe go 1-15.
Yeah, and that's probably only because they play the Jags. Poor Jaguars. You know, you got to feel bad for a team who is hurting for attendance so bad they're giving away 2 free beers with every ticket sold. So, yeah, somebody's got to do it, and more power to the Jags for toughing it out. I guess we'll probably see them in L.A. in a couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens there.
Oh, L.A. or London.
Yeah.
It's one of the two.
That's not going to happen.
Well, Goodell said the one's going to happen. And then another interesting game, just because he hasn't done anything at home yet, and that's the Redskins against the Vikings. Adrian Peterson has not rushed for 100 yards in the Dome yet this year.
Yeah, the Vikings have been extremely underwhelming and surprising. I didn't think they were going to be that bad this year.
Mm.
But, you know, my Browns pulled off a win against them, and they've just been losing everybody left and right. So, I think they're probably going to be the cellar dwellers this year,
yeah.
probably stay in the basement. Other sports?
We got
hockey and basketball.
Yeah, basketball and hockey both in full swing. Couple of surprises in the NBA. The Indiana Pacers are on a tear,
destroying people.
Yeah, they really are. And I mean, they look good last year, you know, playing in the Eastern Conference Finals against Miami, a young team, not a whole lot of huge names. Roy Hibbert is a force to be reckoned with in the paint. Guys, great player,
great.
Tough player. You know, I can't say that I'm an Indiana fan. I'm a Celtics fan, but you know,
you look bad.
Yeah, we are in the basement this year. Definite rebuilding time. But, you know, the teams that are supposed to be strong, I mean, you know, the Chicago Bulls, once again, not living up to the hype. And I really don't think that they ever will. I mean, Derrick Rose has been plagued with injuries.
Gibbard, right, or something like that. I know he's leading the NBA in shooting percentage. But
they're just not there. I think people want them to win more than they're actually going to. Miami's starting to have some inner conflict issues. They're kind of starting to implode a little bit. I think you're going to see that with a few teams.
I do too. Oklahoma City's one of them. I think the honeymoon period is over in OKC with that team they have. They're going to start having some conflicts with people wanting the ball more, wanting more playing time, wanting to change things up and make it more of, you know, egos, I guess, are starting to get big over there because everybody's praising OKC. And I think it's the same issue with Miami. Yeah. You got too many, you know, big names on Miami to have, and it's going to cause issues. I mean, look at the Lakers last year.
Well, and you know, you've got a couple teams in the West that have kind of been stacking their cards over the last couple of years that I think are really going to come to play this year. I mean, the Clippers adding Doc Rivers, you know, they've got a solid team, and the Houston Rockets, I think, are going to be right there at the end of the season. Those guys are already coming out big. You know, of course, James Harden leaving Oklahoma City was probably the biggest detriment to that team, but he's been a major addition in Houston. Leading that team, they've got some great players there. So I would say see them probably deep into the playoffs. I mean, we're, you know, only what, 5-6 games into the season. Mm-hmm. So it's very early on to kind of predict any of that stuff, but I think there's definitely some foreshadowing going on right now.
I see the Lakers not making the playoffs. They have too many issues.
They're
done. But there's some teams that will surprise some people this year, big time. Pacers are on tear. They look great. So that's awesome.
On another note, in the NHL, you've got, you know, their season's in full swing. They're about 12, 13 games deep right now.
Almost 20.
Yeah.
Because there's some teams that are like 15-4.
You've got Colorado is surprising a lot of people. I think they've only had one loss so far this year. The Western Conference in the NHL, things are kind of getting a little interesting there. I mean, Chicago is not stacking up to be the team that they were. LA is having some trouble. But, you know, you've got Colorado on top there. In the East, you know, there was some realignment done. Winnipeg is now in the West. You've got Detroit playing in the Eastern Conference, which makes Chicago the only original six team left in the Western Conference. Detroit is playing well. You got a couple teams on top of them. The Penguins have come out very strong,
swinging.
Yeah, and that's a little disappointing because I'm not a Penguins fan, and now having to, you know, get through them in the playoffs will be interesting. But I think the Eastern Conference playoffs will be pretty fun to watch this year.
Unlike last year, they're actually kind of last year.
The Eastern Conference has kind of been weak over the last. Mm-hmm. Couple of years, I guess, since Boston beat Vancouver in the Cup a couple of years ago, it's been a little weak on the east side, but I think you'll see a resurgence this year, and I would be willing to bet that the winner of the Cup probably comes from the east.
That'd be great. I'm just tired of the west at this point.
Yeah, well, I you know, having been a Western Conference fan for so long, it was nice to see Detroit kind of get out because it's been such a tough conference. And now here they are in the East, and that's stacking up to be a stronger conference this year. So maybe they bring it with them. I don't know. You've also got college basketball and kind of in full swing. Things are starting to kind of get rolling there. You had Kevin Ware with Louisville, who suffered the really, really horrendous injury in the Final Four. Played his first game back. I think it was last night.
It was last night.
You know, Louisville's looking to rise and repeat. Should be an interesting college basketball season. My Oklahoma State Cowboys ranked number 8.
They look great.
Got a pretty strong schedule. What do you think about the SEC? I know basketball is always kind of a tough topic in the SEC.
Well, actually, Bama is starting to build, and Bama's getting, you know, closer and closer.
They got a good coach.
They do. They have a great coach. They're starting to build, and then you got teams like Ole Miss who can always, you know, they can show up if they want to.
Right.
Florida.
Florida's always there.
Always there. They always are a little scary. But really, when it comes to the South, it's the Sun Belt that might surprise people this year with South Alabama.
True.
South Alabama's getting better and better each year. And, you know, if you don't forget, like 8 years ago, they made the playoffs like 5 years in a row.
Speaking of South Alabama, not to go cross sports in this segment, but kudos to South Alabama for really kind of pulling their programs along. I mean, the football team has had a couple of really close losses, but for being their first year in some major, you know, Division I play, surprising a lot of people. Joey Jones is really doing some great stuff there.
You know, I mean, they barely lost to Tennessee. I mean, they actually should have won that game against Tennessee. You know, they're tied right now for Troy for the Sun Belt winner.
Yeah.
And they
lost that game.
They lost that game to
close
Troy.
Game, very close.
2 points.
Yeah. Extremely close game.
They have not had a loss less than seven. I mean, more than 7 points all year.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a sign of a team that's got their act together and they're really coming along. But impressive wins over Tulane, Bobby Petrino's Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. I mean, that's, you know, and I know we're talking Sun Belt football, but I mean, you never know where it comes from. I mean, teams like
Arkansas State.
Yeah, Arkansas State is a strong team, and you get teams, you know, like Boise State that kind of come out of a smaller conference and all of a sudden make a splash. So there's a lot of hope in the future for South Alabama.
Just come on, South fans, start showing up to more games too. The attendance needs to get better.
Well, I think there is some enthusiasm for it, and you know, the better they do, people start jumping that bandwagon and get there. You know, you see a lot of stuff around town, and I know that people are tailgating and things are happening there. So that's it's a promising thing for that school. So, well, I guess we'll wrap it up here. For myself, I'm Clay Bates.
Mac Lipscomb, and Emily's walking over.
Hello. Thank you for listening to Babylon Mobile from Mod Mobilian Radio and modmobilian.com. Make sure you tune in next week for more decadence and debauchery, all right here in audio format.